So a short meditation. We'll meditate for about 15 minutes. And yeah, we can very, I think it's very easy to see impermanence in the natural world, isn't it? You know, we can really see with the seasons, with the day beginning and ending. Yeah. You've got just got all these cycles of things coming into being and then disappearing, of like beginnings and endings. But of course, we are part of the natural world as well. So in us, you know, you've just got this flow of sensations, thoughts, feelings sort of coming into being and fading away, disappearing, dissolving. So we're just gonna, just explore that a bit in our own experience, the impermanence of our own experience, the changingness of our own experience. Yeah, so just make yourself comfortable, however you want to, wherever you want to be. Not just lead us through the meditation. So you can either have your eyes closed, or you might just rest your gaze on the ground in front of you and keep your eyes open if you want to. And to begin with, just having a sense of resting on the ground. And really sort of, yeah, letting the ground hold us, support us. We can just really relax, let go, allow ourselves to be held. So the ground beneath us, the same ground that those tiny shoots are pushing up through, the ground that everything comes from. Just becoming aware of any sounds. So just listening. I always like to start meditation. Just listening is such a receptive sense. And I find that during the day, the sense of sight really dominates, and I forget that I live in this whole soundscape, a world of sound. Maybe there's sounds in your home, wherever you are, sounds outside, the sound of my voice. And just noticing the changingness of sound. Is there anything there that stays the same for even a few moments, even a moment? Sounds arising, fading away. Where do they come from? Where do they go to? Just opening up all the senses in this way. You can just become aware of sensations of seeing. So, whether our eyes are open or closed, there's some sense of light, colour, movement, it's visual sensations. Again, just noticing, can we find anything that is unchanging? If our eyes are open, we might notice how the eye itself is just always moving, adjusting. It's a changing world. And then becoming aware of all the sensations in the body. Of how it is to be embodied, to be a body. Again, just getting curious, is there anything unchanging? Static. We can notice the sensation of resting on the ground, of our feet maybe touching the ground, sensation of pressure, of our buttocks resting in the seat. So just noticing what that sensation of pressure is like. Perhaps it feels like a sort of a vibration of energy, a tingling. Again, just looking for this changingness, this quality of sensations coming into being and dissolving, of awareness moving here and moving there. We can notice any sensations of touch, perhaps our clothes against our skin. Maybe our hands are touching one another. Perhaps our eyelashes. Yeah, that lovely sensation of eyelashes, touching eyelashes. Just notice how something comes into focus. Tiny sensation disappears. Something else comes into focus. This is impermanence. The changingness of things. And we can become aware of how we're feeling, any feelings and emotions. Again, is there anything static, unchanging there? And our thoughts. If anything's impermanent, it's our thoughts. Appearing as if from nowhere, disappearing, more thoughts appearing. So, just imagining being in a natural environment, maybe your favorite place in nature. Maybe you're sitting under a tree. You're watching the clouds go through the sky, the birds flitting amongst the branches of the tree. The grasses are swaying in the breeze. So I think one of the reasons we love to be in nature is this sense that everything is always moving. It's a moving world. So the beauty of nature is this changingness. The day from dawn to dusk, the year through winter, spring, summer, autumn, the beauty of this changing world. Not just beauty, but a sort of solace that we find in nature. In all this change, in all this impermanence. So we too are a part of nature. Alive, changing moment to moment. When you're ready, just bringing that little meditation to an end. Although, really, you don't have to end anything, but yeah, can still have all our senses open, changing. So, I want to tell you another little story, and then a little bit after that, we'll go into another short meditation, actually. So everything is changing, everything is coming into being, everything is dissolving, fading away. And in that, I suppose I have another little question for us, or a reflection, is it possible to find the beginning or the ending of anything? Is it possible to find the beginning or ending of anything? And if you have a response to that, please save it. And when we open up for questions or comments, you could share that. But yeah, is it possible to find the beginning and ending of anything? And I have a little story that I tell. Some of you will have heard it because some of you have been on things with me before. But it's the story of the kitchen stool. So I lived in a retreat center, and in the kitchen of this retreat center was a kitchen stool, just a wooden kitchen stool. And one day I went out to the garage, and there was firewood in the garage, and on the firewood pile was the kitchen stool. And I thought, oh, the kitchen stool is obviously broken. It's on the firewood pile. Another time I went out to, and a few days later, I went out to the garage and I saw the wood pile And this time the kitchen stool had kind of been broken up, ready to go on the fire. So I could see the seat of the kitchen stool. I could see the sort of legs of the kitchen stool. And I still thought to myself, oh, there's the kitchen stool on the fire, yeah, on the fire pile, on the pile to form the fire. And then I think a little while later, somebody came into the lounge where the fireplace was with a basket full of wood. And I could still see the kitchen stool. Yeah. I could still recognize the kitchen stool in this basket of wood. And then they built a fire, they lit the fire. And at some point, I could no longer maintain my idea that this was a kitchen stool. Yeah. This ever-changing thing. So yeah, and probably sometime later, I would have come in and collected all the ashes from the fire, yeah, and taken them out and put them into the compost. And that would have still, or would that have been the kitchen stool? Yeah. And when that compost then was taken and put onto the vegetable garden, it's like, how long could I maintain my idea of kitchen stool? So I think this is just a story that I often use to illustrate how we take the flow of life and we sort of label it as something. Yeah? So we label it as the kitchen stool. At some point, the wood, well, at some point the tree become, or at some point the seed becomes the tree. Yeah. At some point, the tree becomes the wood. At some point, the wood becomes the kitchen stool. At some point, the kitchen stool becomes the firewood. At some point, the firewood becomes the fire, becomes the ash, becomes the compost. Yeah. So there's just this kind of, in a way, there's this seamless flow through life, that I am kind of dividing up into all these. I'm calling this kitchen stool for as long as I can maintain my idea of the kitchen stool. Yeah. But the question is, you know, when did the kitchen stool begin? You know, what was the beginning of the kitchen stool? When did the kitchen stool end? And, you know, this becomes even more interesting when we kind of ask it of ourselves, isn't it? It's like, well, when did I begin? You know, when did I end? So I think if we've, you know, if we've been around people who have died, you know, if we've had people maybe close to us, it's quite a mystery, isn't it? It's like, well, when, you know, in a way. For example, if somebody is being, you know, somebody is being resuscitated, or somebody's been trying to be kept alive, there might be a point where somebody kind of looks at their watch and says, "Time of death," you know, at this time. But really, did anything happen at that time? Yeah. So it's just this. Yeah, this sense of beginnings and endings, and that life is not really like that in a way. It's much more this kind of seamless flow. So I think we don't have loads of time left. So I think we're going to take that into another short period of meditation before we kind of open up for some questions and stuff at the end. And yeah, well, let's just take that meditation on the changingness of things and see if we can look in our experience for the beginnings of things or the endings of things. So again, just getting comfortable. Just coming back to that sense of all the senses being open, listening, visual sensations, sensations in the body. Just tuning in to whatever feelings are there. And allowing any thoughts to just come and go. I'm just getting curious to see if we can find the beginning or ending of a sound, for example. Maybe it's the sound of my voice. The sound of the radiator. What about the sensations in the body? Can we find where a sensation begins? If we take our attention to the breath, often we think of ourselves as breathing in and breathing out, as if there were a beginning and ending to each breath. When we look more closely, there's just a flow. Breathing in, breathing out, flows into breathing in. One sensation flowing into another. And noticing how sensations flow into feelings. There's no division there really between sensation and feeling. And the feeling gives rise to thoughts, and the thoughts give rise to more feelings. There's just this flow of experience. No divisions, no beginnings, no endings. Just as the seed in the earth becomes the tree. The tree grows into the sky, and the leaves fall from the tree, becoming earth again. Everything just flowing out of one beautiful form into another. We can just relax into that flow of experience. That we're being shown the truth of impermanence all the time. And we can open ourselves to that truth by looking for this wabi-sabi beauty, the beauty of impermanence. Exploring impermanence, we're exploring the mystery of time itself. And perhaps when we have a sense of this flow without beginning, without ending, we have a glimpse of why the Buddha called awakening the door to the deathless. We just can bring that little meditation reflection to an end in our own time. And just, to use the bit of time that we have left, maybe to have a bit of space if anybody wants to share anything or ask anything. I'm especially, I suppose, curious if you have a sense of this wabi-sabi in your own life, if that sort of resonates with you, this idea of the wabi-sabi beauty, a different kind of beauty. I'm going to let George do the organize us, I think. Am I? Yes.
Yes, well, Erin, I think she's got a question that she would like to set live.
Yeah.
So I'll just, Erin,
Hi,
unmute.
Erin.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you for what for me was a beautiful meditation. I am at the moment looking out from my sun porch at eight palm trees. There are at least a dozen birds. There were so many things to focus on with all my senses. I was looking for the beginning and ending of things, and I focused hard on the wind, and I could not find it. I could not, because just when I thought I'd found it, I would like open my eyes a little and I could see the oleander swaying. But a really kind of strange thing happened. It is, well, I know I figured my clay turtle that sits on a 2 foot rock in my yard. Well, that wasn't going to change, right? Only I kept looking at it and examining it, and I noticed the sun must be moving like it does, and the light on the shell changed, and then the palm fronds cast shadows on it. But the very strange thing that I don't understand, and I do have a question about this, is the turtle just changed. It wasn't a turtle anymore. It was just an object. I mean, it could have been part of the rock. It was just nothing. And I don't know why that happened. Yeah, that's all I'll say for now, so other people have a chance.
Maybe that experience of the turtle no longer being a turtle was a little bit like my kitchen stool. So, in a sense, it's like partly we make things what they are, don't we, by perceiving them as something, if you see what I mean. Because in a way, it is a bit of rock. Actually, it's not really a turtle, is it? Yeah, it's like we create our world, don't we? And we start to get a kind of glimpse of that. But I really like that, your description of this moving world, because I often think, yeah, it's quite hard to be indoors so much because, and I think one of the reasons is it's such a static world when we're indoors. It's like we, even these days, we don't have so much in the way of firelight or candlelight to create this sort of movement. And I think that the body and mind really relaxes in these kind of moving environments somehow. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Erin. Anyone else got anything they like to share? Or any? Wabi-sabi. Reflections. Yes, Jane.
Well, I just was responding to the thing that you said about movement and nature, and I love nature. It's very healing. But I built a pond and a waterfall inside my house because I've been faced with a lot of health issues, and I've been limited in my ability to be outside. And I have doves that coo all day long, so there's no beginning or end. It's a constant flow of cooing. And my other birds tweet all day long. So I'm surrounded by nature. I have woods in my backyard, and there are deer in my backyard all the time. So the evolution's always happening, and it's always changing, and it's always the flow. I wanted to also comment on permanent impermanence. I faced my mortality, and I will say that was probably the most powerful experience of my life because, with all I've been through, being faced with that, all of my vulnerabilities went away, and it opened a whole new way of being. So it was like you described the bud and the growth, the blossoming out of these very severe situations health-wise. I'm so grateful because it's opened these amazing ways of being more vulnerable and being more alive than I've ever been, and being more present every
Amazing.
moment. Yeah.
That's amazing.
I really feel what you say. It really resonates with me, and I live it.
Yeah. And it sounds like you're really open to that experience. Yeah. Creative. Yeah. Beautiful. Thank you.
So there's a comment from
Yeah.
Lee. He says, though my friend died in 2017, I feel and I don't, for I feel he's still with me, though it was impermanence that took him away.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it's funny, isn't it, how I mean, it's definitely that. Yeah, we lose people, don't we? And yeah, we miss people, and there's grief. There's a place for grief, isn't there? And yet, it's so strange how people stay with us as well. So I always think it's amazing when I meet people in my dreams that have died. You know, it feels like a real sort of gift that I have a dream about maybe one of my parents or my grandparents, or and yeah, they live on in us, don't they? Or even in sometimes like in our, you know, in our bodies, you know, we actually sort of, don't know if you can relate to that, but like, as I get older, I can just see my parents in my hands, you know. So yeah, where do we begin and where do we end?
Yeah, if I may step in, I mean, just I should be only the host, but that all resonates a lot. And a few things that you said in the guidance were, because I'm quite used to practice. I live by the seaside, so I'm quite used to practice to do my practice in front of the ocean. Just because the sound of the ocean is so different and so impermanent all the time. And then there's all the sounds in the background, you know, people coming, cars passing, dogs, and to train the ear and just, oh, there's a sound coming in. Oh, where does it start? Where is it passing by? Where does it end? And you do this practice and at the end, where does everything starts and where everything ends? Does one, you know, just leaves the space to another one, and they interweave, and then there's something coming out of whatever, and then bringing that reflection to impermanence, and in terms of the deathless. Yes, I've also been experiencing loss in a more complex way in the past few years. First, my mom, and then a few people around. And then the most impressive thing is, as I've lived in this place for many years and I know people for a long time, then there's some gaps. You move place, and then you don't see people for 10 or 20 years, and then you just drop into that person, and you just see the difference. Oh, this is time passing by, or is it just things evolving? And as you become more attuned to that, other things start to happen, like the ones you just described. Just dreaming of people that have gone. And in a way, what it soothes the grief and the ever-present feeling of loss because the person is not there anymore, because the beloved cat is gone, because many other things just disappeared from your radar, is that actually it doesn't end. It only changes. I mean, I haven't ended the relationship that I had with my mom or with the people that I knew that have just faded, have just gone into whatever form. I've just changed my relationship with them. It's not an easy process. It's not something that fits in like, yeah, that's it. It's just like, just got rid of this because it's too old. And no, but it really happens that way.
It reminds me, you saying that reminds me years and years and years ago when I was quite young, I went on a solitary retreat, and it was before, that's how long ago it was before the time of mobile phones. And I was on this solitary retreat, and then I had this very strong sense of my grandfather, and it was so strong that I thought maybe he'd died. You know, sometimes when you just have this very strong sense of somebody, you think, has something happened to him? But I was on this solitary retreat without a phone, and then I just thought, well, I don't know how to explain it, but it was a bit like, there was no difference really whether he had died or was alive. He was there in my mind, if you see what I mean. So it's sort of like we kind of think, well, when we're, when somebody's died, we can't be with them, which is obviously true. But then a lot of the time we're not with them and they're alive. Do you see what I mean? Don't know quite how to explain it, but it's just not so clear cut somehow, I think. Spence, you look like you're on another planet, and you are also muted. You're muted in Mars.
And I do not know where that came from. It just popped up.
Oh,
There's
he's a
really
wanderer.
behind me. There's a trees and a window and trees and a mountain and all that. But I have no idea where how I got this elevated.
Right.
But any rate, I just think about sometimes how all life seems to come out of death. Like every morsel of food we put into our body, the plants or animals, they had to die so that we can put it into our body and live. So death is con life is constantly coming out of springing out of death. That's something came to me after contemplating impermanence years ago. But you look out at the you look at a meadow or the trees and flowers or whatever, and you realize that there's hundreds of thousands, millions of years of life and death that built up that soil so that these plants could come out of that soil. And so you're really looking at a landscape of death or life coming out of death when you see that. So it's something that's kind of stuck with me that when I see something beautiful, I realize that it's coming out of a process of life and death, the cycle coming and going, you know. Anyway, thank you.
Yeah, that's lovely. That's a great image, isn't it? Yeah, so true. The whole planet, yeah. Yes.
There's a comment.
Yeah.
I think a last comment from Ryan. There's always a big language issue when discussing impermanence. English is absolutist with how it treats and considers, oops, just moved up, and considers nouns, whereas in a language like Sanskrit, nouns are largely derived from verbs and adjectives. A thing in Sanskrit is a name assigned to a quality or a behavior, not a permanent substance. English makes us bump into all sorts of paradoxes every time we talk about change.
Yeah. Yes, that's so true, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, in some ways, all language sort of tends to fix things, doesn't it? But particularly, yeah, particularly that kind of fixed language. Yep. Anybody else want to share anything before we?
There's another one.
Yeah.
On a con To me, it's from Bartolome. On a conventional level, everything has measure and starting point and end to help us live us freely and easily. On ultimate level, where do we point to start of the life? Universe or begging of something? We can draw a line that need to be explained and understood. Everything will inevitably end, in my opinion, and starts probably over again in one form or another.
Yes.
And then Charles adds on to this, is there ever a beginning or end if there is no one to perceive it? That's a good one, Charles.
Yeah.
That's a very good one.
Yeah. Now we've gone deep, haven't we?
Yeah, I think we could stay on this for another session or two.
Shall I read you a little quote to finish, which I think is a really nice, it ends on a nice image. So it's Achan Chah, the Thai meditation teacher. And he says, he's talking about a glass. He's talking about his favorite glass. This is my favorite glass with little oranges and lemons on it. And he says, you see this goblet? For me, this glass is already broken. I enjoy it. I drink out of it. It holds my water admirably, sometimes even reflecting the sun in beautiful patterns. If I should tap it, has a lovely ring to it. But when I put this glass on the shelf and the wind knocks it over, or my elbow brushes it off the table and it falls to the ground and shatters, I say, of course. When I understand that the glass is already broken, every moment with it is precious. So that's a nice
Yeah.
instruction on how to live. The glass is already broken. So, yeah, thank you. I think we wind up now, don't we? So, thank you everyone for being here. A little journey through impermanence. Really nice to see old friends and new friends.
Well, thank you for your guidance and your presence, and hope you enjoyed it. And we might bring you on for a next session. Thank you all, friends, for your presence, for your